I did it, Rex.
There is a verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 that absolutely amazes me. And in fact, it should amaze anyone who takes their time to reflect upon it. Peter, writing to these people, says this in verse 20. He says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." Now, of course, the "he" is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, because he, along with God the Father and God the Spirit, is Almighty God, the creator and sustainer of all things. He is Jesus, because he is God become man. And that was the name that was given him when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. A name which means, "He will save you, save us from our sins." He is Christ. The Greek word, which translates the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the chosen one. The one chosen by the Father to be the coming Saviour, the coming Redeemer of humankind. And indeed, it is this chosen aspect that is one of the most difficult things for our human minds to comprehend. For here we have it, in black and white, in words written by man but inspired by God, the incredible statement that God the Son was chosen or set apart by the Father to be, according to the verses that precede this verse in Peter, verses 18 and 19, he was chosen, set apart to become the Lamb, the sacrifice, the very one whose blood, so precious, will be sufficient to redeem from empty lives, from hopeless existence, to an eternity and to a life that is vibrant, all those who will put their trust in him. Now that is amazing. That is fantastic. That is the absolutely wonderful verse that we're looking at this morning. And for God the Son to be chosen before the creation of the world, to be the atonement for the sin that only entered the world after the world had been created and after man had been created, it is not a difficult thing for the triune God to do. For he exists outside of time. And unlike us, his knowledge and his power is not restricted or imprisoned by time. Yet for our finite minds, this is a great mystery, isn't it? That should fill us with awe and reverence, that he was chosen before the creation of the world for our sakes. Because he was not only chosen before the creation of the world, he has been revealed in these last days for our sakes. He knew us. See, Peter here is talking to people and he's saying, "It was for your sakes," but he talks by the Spirit to us, and he says, "It was for our sakes he was chosen before the creation of the world." God knew us before we were born. He delighted in us despite the sin that he knew that would defile us in his presence. And at a predetermined time, God the Son, left the glory he had with the Father before time began to be born in a stable in Bethlehem for the sake of you and me. Now you should be amazed by that. Thoroughly amazed. It's a wonderful statement in Scripture. The Apostle John was given by God the Spirit such a wonderful glimpse into that truth. So much so that when he came to write his record of the life of Jesus Christ, he felt compelled to begin at what he knew was the real beginning. The beginning of everything. For there, Jesus was. And he wrote this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And a little bit later on in verse 14, and this is the contemporary English version, he wrote, the Word became a human being and lived here with us. We saw his true glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. And from him, all the kindness and all the truth of God have come down to us. Isn't that fantastic? The Word there at the beginning became a human being. Frederick Buchner, who's a theologian and a great preacher from last century, wrote this. The claim that Christianity makes for Christmas is that at a particular time and place, God came to be with us, himself. When Quirinius was governor of Syria, in a town called Bethlehem, a child was born who, beyond the power of anyone to account for, was the high and lofty one, made low and helpless. The one who inhabits eternity came to dwell in time. The one whom none can look upon and live is delivered in a stable under the soft, indifferent gaze of cattle. The Father of all mercies puts himself at our mercy. You know, some would say that for God to put himself at our mercy was an unfortunate thing for him to do. Because look what's happened. Look how the world treats the Son who came as a baby. Treats the King of Kings. Treats him so badly. And especially, dare I say, at Christmas. The name of Christ is used to define a season that on the whole fails to give God the Son the prominence his presence demands. It is Christmas. It is Christmas. It is Christ's birth. And yet so much he's not even included. In fact, in our society, it's the majority is not even included in. I was walking through one of the shopping centres the other day. And I saw a portrayal of a nativity scene. It was delightful. It was encased in a glass bubble. It was pretty. It was lovely. It was great. Yet my excitement at seeing it was turned very quickly to despair as I realised that it was part of a group and it was set next to Santa Claus, a picture of him, and then next to that a Christmas tree, and then next to that a reindeer. And it was presented just as another Christmas draw card. You know, another piece of Christmas ritual aimed at encouraging people to buy rather than to worship. That's sad. There's a Christmas card I heard about. It had this message on it. Some people think that Christmas time is gifts and grub and booze, but the best bit is that Jesus came, God's Son in human shoes. I thought that's pretty clever. There's a bit of truth in that. But you know, I shuddered when I read that. Because the coming of Jesus Christ is not just the best bit of Christmas. It's the only bit of Christmas. And to celebrate Christmas without recognising the fearful, majestic event that is the birth of God become man is to call forth judgment upon our society rather than salvation. And you know, this becomes the real issue when we look again at our text and we note the other thing that Peter had to emphasise. He says he was chosen before the creation of the world but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Did you notice the last times? The coming of Jesus as the baby born in a stable introduced this world to the last times. That may seem strange to say that when it's been over 2,000 years since that baby was born, but the length of years does not detract from the fact that this period that we are in, this period of God's grace, is the last chance people have to accept God's rescue. It's also our time to live out the glory of the gospel message before other people. It's the time, the only time we've got, the only time we're going to have to do that. Someone wrote, "The Lord Jesus Christ, whom we exalt at Christmas, is not just a baby in a manger. He is not a character in a children's story. He is far more than that. The next time he comes, and we believe it will be soon, he will come unveiled, and it will be abundantly and immediately clear to all the world just who he really is. The first time he came as a baby, soon he will come as sovereign King and Lord." Now, for us who love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, and us who wish to make him known, this concept of living in the last days of God's grace puts a sense of urgency, surely, on the way we should personally approach Christmas. Because Christmas does give us an opportunity to be very vocal, to be very out there about the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? For Christmas is, I believe, our God-given chance to pray for the true message to get through and to speak out about the good news of Christmas, of Christ born, whenever that opportunity arises. Jan prayed for the delivery of the Christmas cards and that we have enough deliverers. Well, the good news is that we won't actually have to deliver them this time, but we've got to do a little bit harder job. I'll tell you about it in a moment. Because this year, because of a family in our fellowship and their generosity, but also their desire for others to connect with Christ this Christmas, we will have our little invitation cards put in over 7,000 letterboxes and done for us instead of the 2,500 that we normally do. But let me tell you this. You may think you've got out of it lightly, but you haven't. Because there's a responsibility that now falls upon us to pray for each area and each road and each house and each family that those cards go to. So you will be praying this year, hopefully more than you've ever prayed about the Christmas cards before, and you will hear more about that next week. But it also demands from each one of us a commitment. A commitment to use the Christmas services that we invite them to, the carols, the play, the Christmas Day services, as messengers of the gospel. That we don't come now principally for ourselves to those things. We come principally for those who come who we don't know. That we become those who are looking out for new faces. There may be family of others amongst. There may be people that occasionally come but don't often come. There may be people who come because of the cards. We are the ones who need to look out for them this Christmas, prepared to seek them out, to visit with them, to share with them, and to invite others along too, and to be ready to show the type of love that is behind the Christmas message. That's the love, and how will they see it? They don't see it shining through us. You know, the real story of Christmas, the real story, is so deep, so mysterious, that only the Holy Spirit is able to make a person aware of the reality of it for themselves. That's true, isn't it? Only the Holy Spirit can. You can't do that. I can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can. Yet we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, have this part to play this Christmas. We can and should pray each day through this month of December that the true message of Christmas will permeate the hearts of those that you know, and others that you have some connection with, and others who have some connection with this place. And we can so honour the Christ of Christmas that we should be ready to share whenever the Holy Spirit gives us the opportunity. And we can endeavour to use every part of our Christmas season, the cards we send, the gifts we give, the greetings we share, to in some way let people know that for us the reason for Christmas is just so special. I think we've got to be out there. We've got to be creative. We've got to be crafty, perhaps, to share the message of Christmas. Now, I was at the morning tea the other day for the school. And I was in a bunch of ladies. I knew someone I didn't know, so I just sat myself in the middle and said, hi. And we started talking, and we started talking about Breakfast Club, and that was exciting. And we started talking about, and there was a lady there who I hadn't met before, and she started to quiz me about what the church was. She said, you know, she said, one thing I really do enjoy, you're the church with the sign. She said, I look at that sign when it's changed every month, and I watch what it's got to say. I said, well, that's interesting. I said, that's great. I'm glad you. But make sure you look out for this sign, which is coming up in December, which Jeff had put up this morning. Thank you, Jeff. Because I said it's got a Santa Claus on it, which is a little strange, because really Santa Claus is our opposition. We don't like him much. But I said, you will see that he's praying. And the reason for that is because Santa Claus comes from St. Nicholas, who came out of Turkey in the 3rd century. And this guy so loved the Lord Jesus Christ, an orphan who became a Christian and loved the Lord. He wanted to show that love by what he did. And he gave so many gifts to people without them knowing. I said, that's what Christmas is about. So we've got to use, haven't we, little opportunities whenever we can to say, this is what Christmas is. And it means something to me. You may not accept what it means to me, but I want you to know that it does mean a lot to me. And if you want me to share it with you, I will. That's what Christmas is. So for us, this Christmas, let's remember that. There's a guy called Robert Mulgan, wrote this in one of his books. I once read of a great European cathedral whose ceiling was adorned with a painting of God, drawn in brilliant colours. But the ceiling was so high and the cathedral so narrow that it hurt visitors to crane their necks to view the painting. The ingenious rector placed a mirror at ground level, tilted, so that the worshippers, by looking in the mirror, could study the image of the painting above. There's no doubt that rector did that because he himself had come to love and appreciate that painting. And yet he knew how hard it was for others to come to that knowledge themselves. And he didn't want them to miss out. We have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and love him. And we know the full significance of the Christmas story. We have trembled in praise and adoration at the truth of God becoming man. We have come to love him, and now we must seek ways that we can present him so that others will seek him and find him for themselves. And that is not an easy task in our society, but it is more necessary today than ever. That is why HCJB sends out their radio broadcasts. And that was lovely seeing that video. I drove down that track on the back of a truck hanging on for dear life. I know it. It's lovely. But it's something we must do because of what he has done for us. So during this season, let us seek whatever way we can to make the message of Jesus born, because he loves people and because they need him, available to others, and to give ourselves especially to prayer so that the Holy Spirit will prompt us. You see, if we're praying a lot, then we're so much It's so much easier to hear the Holy Spirit when he prompts us. And when he does, we need to hear him and do what he leads us to do. Mighty God, I thank you for Christmas. Thank you for what it means. I thank you for this amazing verse that your servant Peter, inspired by you, wrote down. Not just for those he wrote to them, but for us too. And I praise you for what it means to me. And I pray that this morning, by your Spirit, you'll make it so meaningful to us all that we will go out desirous to share some of it with others. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.